The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea, where he spent some time with them, baptizing. John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there. And people came to be baptized, for John had not yet been imprisoned. Now a dispute arose between the disciples of John and a Jew about ceremonial washings. So they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and everyone is coming to him." John answered and said, "No one can receive anything except if it has been given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said I am not the Christ, but that I was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man who stands and listens for him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase, I must decrease." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Christmas Day, we sang in that beautiful fourth verse from O Little Child of Bethlehem. O Little Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. That is the mystery we celebrate throughout the Christmas season. But just like when a child is conceived, the child grows. So this reality of the Lord's being born in us is supposed to grow. That's why exclaiming this entire Christmas season, we have this gospel today, in which at the very end, St. John describes what's supposed to be happening in us, and then through us, because of this mystery of Christmas. He, meaning Jesus, must increase, I must decrease. That doesn't mean we become less. That means he becomes more and makes us more. As he continues to grow within us, we become more human and we become more divinized. He took on our humanity so that we might become sharers in his divinity. And those two things, growing as a disciple and growing as an apostle, is what the Lord wants to do in us, having been born in us. We look at the first in today's first reading, when St. John describes what it's like to be a son of God. The more Christ increases, the more he grows in us, the more we change. One of the first things that happens is in our prayer. We begin to pray as a truly confident, loved son or daughter who wants the Father's will, not our own will. So when we pray, we're praying much more in tune with what we should be praying for. And that's why St. John will be able to say, we have this confidence in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked him is ours. There's a confidence in the way that we pray. Jesus spent so much of his public ministry trying to teach us to have that confidence. "What father among you," he said, "if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will be given a fish? If he asks a stone, if he asks for a fish, will be given a poisonous eel? If you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So it first changes our prayer. Then it totally changes our moral life. St. John describes, we know that anyone begotten by God, anyone who is a true son or daughter of God, doesn't sin. Because we know that we belong to God. We know that the world is under the power of the evil one. So we're constantly and increasingly making a choice for the kingdom of God over the kingdom of the world. We'll have a chance to focus on that tomorrow as we look at our consecration from our baptism and how that always brings about this rejection of Satan, his evil works, his empty promises, and this choice to live by faith in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Throughout this Christmas season, as it grows, we're supposed to be growing in that adhesion to grace. That grace is supposed to grow in us to such a degree that the power, the domination of sin wanes. Doesn't mean it's going to be totally eliminated. Doesn't mean we're never going to sin again. It doesn't mean that we're immaculately conceived. But what it does mean is that that sway of grace over us becomes stronger, and the sway of sin over us becomes weaker if we participate in this mystery. God wants to give us that increase. On December 31st, we talked about how the passage from one year to another is meant to be grace upon grace. God wants to continue to build the graces of one year on the graces of the years previous. All we need to do is actively cooperate with that, because that's God's plan. He must increase. We must decrease. That's the first application at the level of our discipleship, at the level of our call to become holy. There's another application, which is with regard to how the Lord wants to use us to make Him in His glory and His will and His kingdom grow in others and in the world. This is what St. John was specifically referring to in the Gospel today. Some of his disciples came, and they thought that he should be jealous. He had baptized, he had brought everybody to him, but now Jesus and some of his disciples had begun to baptize, and everybody started to go toward Jesus. So they came to John, basically saying, "You should be upset about this." And what did he say? "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven." So the first thing is, what's happening where Jesus is baptizing is happening directly by God. "You yourselves can testify that I said I'm not the Messiah, but that I was sent before him." He wasn't pretending to be the one to whom everyone should be drawn. He was only the precursor, the forerunner, the one who was sent before to prepare the way for another. And when that other arrived, rather than being upset, rather than about being jealous, he delighted. Then he gave a very important image. I think it's the most important image about the priesthood, but it's one of the most important images about the way Catholics are meant to do the apostolate. He said, "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the best man, the shoshem in Hebrew." The friend of the bridegroom is literally the term. "Who stands and listens for him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice." This whole relationship between God and his people was the relationship of sponsality. God throughout the Old Testament was saying, "I will espouse you." That's what we heard on Christmas Eve. "I will espouse you." And even after the Jewish people was so unfaithful, he took that people back as an adulterous bride. He himself was always faithful. We're not the bridegroom. The people are not ours. They're made for God. We're supposed to be like that best man. And what was the role of the best man? The role of the best man was to protect the bride during that time after the contractual arrangement, which was called the betrothal, and the 1 or 2 or 3 years where the husband was earning the money for the reception in their common life. He was the one who kept an eye that nobody else would go and violate the bride. He'd protect her. He was the one who arranged for the reception, handled all the details. He was the one who sent out the invitation. And very importantly, on the night that they would consummate their marriage, he was the one inside, trusted by the bridegroom, inside the tent, to prevent what was very common in Jewish times, when the lights were out, everything else, everybody else would try to sneak in and sleep with the bride before the bridegroom was there. He was the one who protected the bride. And as soon as he heard the bridegroom's voice outside the tent saying, "I am here," because he was the good friend of the bridegroom, he would recognize that voice and immediately he'd open up the tent. And he would rejoice and leave the tent because the bride was now with the bridegroom, consummating their love. When he says he must increase, we must decrease, St. John the Baptist is teaching us a very important lesson about our role in the world, which is we're supposed to become those facilitators so that Christ might increase in those around us. And when he does, we shouldn't be jealous, because that's the whole point of our mission. You know, sometimes we make friends, but we like to keep them on our own level. Some of the times when we make friends in church, we begin to get a little bit upset because we used to always have Thursday nights playing Pinochle. And then all of a sudden that person's going to adoration every Thursday night and it's messing up our plans. And we begin to resent that Christ is increasing in another rather than truly rejoicing. In order for Christ to increase, we've got to actively be seeking Christ ourselves to decrease. We've got to be able to say, I'm very happy to go in the background, rejoicing that somebody else has found God, and God's so much more important than I am. How's this Christmas season been going? At the very end of the season, are we able to say, yes, in fact, thank you, Lord, because you have increased in me. And I've, in my own needs and my own impulses and all the rest, have decreased over the season. And can we also say, thank you, Lord, for using me in such a way that I can point to at least one person, not to mention a few, in whom you have increased over the course of the season. I've seen their faith come alive, and rather than being jealous about that, I share that joy. I share that joy. I am happy to take second fiddle to you in somebody else's life. That's the meaning of the growth that's supposed to occur when Christ is truly born in us. Today, we come to receive the fruit to which the whole Christmas season points. We come to receive Jesus. We receive him as a small little host, but that host is supposed to grow. Christ is supposed to become all in all. We allow him to inseminate us with his word, to plant the seed of his word within us. But that word is supposed to grow in us. We're supposed to cooperate in such a way that we become the echo, giving that seed again like a fruitful tree over to others so that that same pattern of growth can happen. Let us ask the Lord to help us to become small so that we might be able to receive him in all his greatness and then be able to bring that greatness to others. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.